In a world that is collapsing, a world that is heading to a one world government, 10 nations ruling, the Antichrist giving a mark on the back of the right hand and the forehead to those that will worship him. You won't be able to buy or sell or do anything unless you have the mark of the beast. And that's why God has to remove his bride from the world. That's where we're living today.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Roel Reese in Diamond Bar, California. It is good to have you with us for the conclusion of our series, Contemplating God's Perfect, Unwavering Truth. Today, as Roel explores some of the Bible's insights into the world's end time future, he'll urge you to stand firm in the Lord no matter what lies ahead. Stay with us to see that in spite of growing global chaos and uncertainty, you have hope and a refuge in the true words of God. Let's listen as Roel Reese begins our message, God Keeps His Word. If you have your Bible, join us in 2 Peter chapter 3.
We are living in very dangerous days in America and the world. And I am really amazed at all of the heavy problems that the world is facing today as you look at the world as a whole. Because whoever thought, first of all, that as a nation, America would be in a place today that we never thought would ever be attacked as 9/11 when we were hit and 3,000 people died at the Twin Towers. And you wonder how many more planes are going to get blown up, how many more airports, how many more libraries or schools or churches or synagogues. And I'm not talking about Europe or the East, I'm talking about America itself. This is what we're dealing with today. In a world that is collapsing, a world that is heading to a one world government, 10 nations ruling, the Antichrist giving a mark on the back of the right hand and the forehead to those that will worship him. You won't be able to buy or sell or do anything unless you have the mark of the beast. And that's why God has to remove his bride from the world. That's where we're living today. So as I begin to do some examination and begin to do some research, it was pretty interesting that I was going to the New Testament. The Lord brought up 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 through 9. Let's read it and see what he says there. He says, "Beloved," speaking to the church, "I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder." So I want to remind you. "That you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles, and of the Lord and Savior." Notice that. He goes back and he says, "Now I want you to not to forget what was written in the Bible by the prophets in the Old Testament and what we, the apostles, are giving to you through the Bible, the Word of God." Can we trust the Bible? Yes. And this is what it says, verse 3, "Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own desires." Scoffers. Check this out. He goes on. Verse 3, "Knowing this at first, the scoffers will come in the last days, walking after their own desires and saying," what? "Where is the promise of his coming? Where is he? Since my grandmother's time, she said it, it never happened." You can't believe the church. You can't trust the Bible. "Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers have died, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation." Is that true? You don't have to be too smart to know that. No, it's not true. Things always change. The world's getting older. They're talking, scientists are saying that eventually our star, the sun, will actually burn out. They've discovered hundreds and millions of other galaxies apart from our own galaxy. Think about that. So the Bible is correct. He goes on and he says this, for this they willfully forget that by the word of God, notice again the word of God, the heavens were of old, the earth standing out of the water in the water, and by which the world then was existing, perished. How? Being flooded with water. There was a universal flood. He says again, verse 6, by which the world then existed, perished, being flooded with water, but the heavens and the earth, which are not preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire into the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Now check this out. He says there will never be another flood in the world. You know, they're talking about the rising of the sea. Oh yeah, it can rise, but there will never be another flood. Another flood? Never. How's the world going to end? By fire. And then check this out. This is so cool. He says in verse 7, let me go back again. He says, but the heavens and the earth, which are not preserved by the same word, there's the word of God again, are reserved by fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years is one day, which means what? God doesn't live in 24-hour time limits like we live, 365 days, 7 days in the week. He doesn't work that way. He lives in eternity. He already knows the beginning and the end. He already knows it. But his concern is written in verse 9. Check this out. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness. Notice he says, for those that are doubters, those that are evolutionists, those that are always coming against the word of God. He says, the only reason that Jesus has not come the second time is why? Because he's long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to what? Repentance. Wow. Why? He's a God of love. That's why. It's really important that we understand what God is trying to say here through Peter. Did you know that most mentioned doctrine in the Bible is the coming of the Lord, the second coming? The new birth is mentioned only 9 times in the New Testament. 9 times. But baptism is mentioned 20 times, and the second coming of Christ is mentioned 300 times just in the New Testament. Repentance, 70 times. The return of Jesus Christ is announced in such a considerable number of passages on over 1,527 times in the Old Testament and 319 times in the New Testament. The second coming of Jesus Christ. Wow. You can trust God's word. He's coming again. He's not playing games. He means what he says. And what's amazing to me in the Epistle of Jude, in Jude is the brother of Jesus, and he says in Jude 1:18 and 19 to 21, he says, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time, they would walk according to their own ungodly lusts. Same thing Peter said. These are sensual people who cause divisions, not having the Spirit of God. Wow. You can't trust them. They're trying to destroy people's faith. He says, but you, beloved, he turns to the church now, building yourselves up in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Wow. God's word is sure. And remember what Peter said at the beginning in verse 5 of 2 Peter chapter 3. He says, for this they willfully forget that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, the earth standing out of the water in the water, by which the world then existed, perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are not preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Judgment. But Beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is 1,000 years. 1,000 years is one day. No time limit. God's going to come when he's ready. Even when Jesus was here, remember he said, I have to wait according to the will of my Father. I am in God's timetable. In order for me to die on the cross. So are we. Can you imagine that in heaven already, when God opens the book of names, your name, my name, already there, and he has the date you're going to die? That's something nobody knows, only God. The day you're going to die and the hour. And then eternal life, heaven or hell. You have to really think about that. Because this is why when Jesus Christ came the first time and he departed, he sent the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit came, he did three things according to John 16, 7, 8, all the way to verse 11. This is Jesus speaking the last week before he dies on the cross. He's talking to his disciples because they're asking the question, when you die, what's going to happen to us and who's going to come in your place? So he says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage. Wow, notice what he says. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I don't go away, then the helper will not come to you. Who's the helper? In the Greek, he's called the Paracletus. The one that comes alongside to us is the Holy Spirit.
You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. We're here to enrich your faith with a deeper understanding of God's Word. Visit SomebodyLovesYou.com for a wealth of Bible-based resources. You can also download our app for live-streamed biblical teaching. Now back to more with Raul Reese.
Check this out. I will send him to you. And when he has come, he, number one, will convict the world of sin. Number two, of righteousness. Number three, of judgment. Wow. Three things. Number one, of sin, because they do not believe in me. That's the worst sin. Because they do not believe in Jesus Christ. All manner of sin is forgiven unto men, except what? The blasphemy against the Holy Spirit of God. When a person continues to reject and reject and reject the truth, he comes to a place where he crosses the line and not even God himself can bring him back to the other side. He's done. Pretty heavy. Verse 9. He says, of sin because they do not believe in me. Secondly, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you will see me no more. And thirdly, of judgment because the ruler Satan of this world already has been judged. How? By the cross of Jesus Christ. He's done. Satan is running out of time. That's why he's going after people all the time. His time is almost over. And think how we need to be alert and to know what is happening in this world. Because according to John the Beloved in Revelation chapter 13, 16 through 18, he says that in the last days, once the church is taken to heaven, there's going to be a last 7 years of world history. And those people, the 10 virgins, five were taken, five were left. Those that will be left behind, they were in church, but did not have the Holy Spirit. Notice what he says. Check this out. He causes all, both small, great, rich, poor, free, and slave, to receive a mark on the right hand or in their foreheads. And that no one may buy or sell except the one who has the mark or the name of the beast, the Antichrist, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who understands calculate the number of the beast, for the number of a man, the number is 666. Wow. He even told us. 666. Nobody will be able to do business. Nobody will be able to work. Nobody will be able to fellowship anywhere unless you show your identity mark. Catch the society. That's where we're heading. That's why we got to be ready for the Lord's coming. He said, when you see all these things taking place, he says, don't look down, look up, for your redemption draw at night. Get ready. Jesus is coming. And what's amazing is I go through the Gospels and I look at the epistles and I look at the last book of Revelation. That even Luke himself, in finishing his letter, writing in chapter 21, verse 34 through 36, he warns and he says, take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighted down with carousing, drunkenness, the cares of this life, that the day of Christ, that's notice through the rapture, that the day comes upon you unexpectedly, for it will come as a snare to all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch, therefore, be on the alert, and pray always that you may be counted worthy, check this out, to escape all these things that are coming to pass and to stand before the Son of Man, speaking of the rapture and then the tribulation period. Wow. That's Jesus speaking, warning people of what's ahead. And then how about Revelations chapter 2 and 3, the seven churches? Starts with Ephesus and ends up saying to Ephesus, repent and return to your first love. If not, I'll go somewhere else and remove my presence from your lives. And then he comes to the last church, Laodicea, and check this out what he says to her. This is the church of the Antichrist, the church of tribulation, where we're heading today. Check this out. And to the angel or the pastor of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were either cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm, there's the key. God says, I don't care if you're hot or you're cold, but if you're lukewarm, you better be careful. Check this out. He says, so then because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I, Jesus, will vomit you out of my mouth. I'll throw you up. Because you say, I am rich because I have wealth. I have need of nothing. He said, you don't even know that you're wretched, you're miserable, you're poor, you're blind, you're naked. He says, but spiritually, you're bankrupt. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire that you may be rich, white garments that you may be clothed, notice that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, to anoint your eyes with eye salt that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke, I chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door to their hearts, I'll come in to him and dine with you and he with me. To him who overcometh, I will grant to him to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Wow. Look at the messages all through the Bible. From generation to generation, what God intends to do. And yet in the book of Matthew, when Jesus was walking through preaching the gospel, whenever he would come to a town or a city, the first thing he would always watch for, he always looked for people that were destined and they were low and they were really poor and they were looking for hope. And what did it say? It says, and Jesus moved with compassion for them. Why? Because they were like sheep without a shepherd. God cares for people that are true seekers. And yet, you know what else he says? In the book of Romans, chapter 13, 11 through 14, he says, and do this, knowing the time that now it is high time to wake up out of sleep. And now our salvation is closer than when we first came to Christ, when we first believed. The night is far spent, The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off all the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in wild parties and drinking and getting drunk, not in lewdness or lust, nor striving or in envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for your flesh to fulfill the desires of the flesh. Why? Because whatever you sow, you're going to reap. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 through 9. And do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man or woman sows, that will they also reap. For he who sows to his flesh, of the flesh will reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit of God, from the Spirit of God will reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing well, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. And what's happened today? People are losing heart. That is people that do not have their eyes on Jesus. You got to get your eyes on Jesus fully and completely because the Lord is coming soon. You know what he desires? He desires a crucified life. Did you know that? It's not about you. It's about him. When Jesus was on his way to the cross in Matthew 16, in chapter 16, verse 24 to 26, Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, if you have a desire to come after Christ, here are the qualifications. Number one, let him deny himself or herself. Secondly, take up your cross. And what's a cross? It's not designed to wear on your neck. It's the instrument of death. Thirdly, he says, then follow me. And then he said this, for whosoever desires to save his life in this life will lose it eternally, but whoever loses his life for my sake in this life will find it. For what profit is to a man or a woman if they gain the whole world but they lose their own soul? Or what will a man or a woman give in exchange for their soul? What's your price? Drugs, alcohol, sex, pornography, money, power? What's your price? Everybody has a price. And here Jesus warns.
We hope today's message has been an inspiration for you to anchor your heart and life on the Bible's firm foundation, trusting that God's truth will guide you through all of the turmoil that lies ahead for the world. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Ries. If you'd like to hear today's lesson, God Keeps His Word in its complete form, we'll be happy to send a copy to you for a donation of $5 or more. To get that, just call us at 800-634-9165. We'd also like to offer you four key messages from this truth series we've just aired. Available on both CD and USB, this resource will challenge you to live every day in obedience to God's Word. You'll find that when you tune out other voices and follow Christ, He'll lead you in paths of righteousness and abundance. To order this collection of four lessons focused on God's truth, visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165. We'll send you the thumb drive for $9 or the CD set for $18. The number again is 800-634-9165. Or you can order by writing us at Somebody Loves You Radio, Post Office Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. We are grateful for the tax-deductible gifts that enable us to keep sharing God's life-changing Word. Tune in again next time to celebrate the miraculous birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Together, we'll meditate on the unique qualifications that make Jesus the only one who could rescue us from sin and redeem our lives from death, paving the way for us to enjoy an eternal heavenly home. Now, with the closing comment, here's Raul once again.
You know what the key is? In John 15, 4 and 5, the key is a word called abiding, dwelling. Check this out. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it's connected to the vine. You see? Neither can you unless you are connected to me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Wow. I love that. Nothing. For those of you that are here today, you think you can do it apart from Christ, you're wrong. Nothing can be done apart from Jesus Christ. He is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. We're all going to die one day, some sooner than others. And then we're going to have to give an account of our lives. And that's why it's important for me to preach and to teach the Word of God to you and to myself. Because surely I want to be ready and I want to keep my eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ because He's coming soon.
This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.